Chapter 54. Gunnery Sergeant Mike Tipton stared intently through the night vision binoculars, scanning the jagged ice ridge that descended to Coronation Gulf. Though the frozen eyepiece numbed his brow, he held his gaze, hoping for some sign of movement. He finally lowered the glasses when another man crawled up the ice ridge beside him. "Any sign of the captain?" the soldier asked, a young corporal whose face was hidden behind a cold weather mask. Tipton shook his head, then looked at his watch. "They're late, and our aircraft are due in 20 minutes. Do you want me to break radio silence and issue a call?" "Go ahead. Find out what's going on and when they'll be here. We can't keep those birds on the ground for long." He rose to his feet and turned toward the makeshift airfield. "I'm going to activate the beacons." Tipton walked quietly away. He didn't want to hear the radio call. Instinctively, he knew that something had gone wrong. Roman had made an early start. He should have been back with the Polar Dawn's crew nearly an hour ago. They certainly should have been within sight by now. Roman was too good a commander, the team too well trained for something not to have gone dramatically wrong. Tipton reached one end of the airfield and turned on a pair of battery-operated blue lights. He then paced to the opposite end of the coarsely graded runway and activated a second pair of lights. Returning to the base camp, he found the corporal vainly calling the assault team over a portable radio as one other soldier stood lookout nearby. "I'm not getting any response," the corporal reported. "Keep trying until the planes have landed." Tipton faced both men. "We have our orders. We'll evacuate whether the rest of the team is here or not." Tipton stepped closer to the soldier on lookout, who was barely distinguishable from the corporal in his heavy white parka. "Johnson, instruct the pilots to hold for 5 minutes. I'll be on the ridge keeping lookout for the captain. Just don't leave without me," he glowered. "Yes, Sergeant." A minute later, a faint buzz split the frozen night air. The sound grew louder until evolving into the recognizable whine of an aircraft, followed by another. The two Ospreys flew without navigation lights and were invisible against the black sky. Specially modified for expanded range, the two aircraft had flown nearly 700 miles from an airstrip in Eagle, Alaska, just over the Yukon border. Skimming low over the tundra, they had easily evaded detection, flying over one of Canada's most remote regions. Tipton reached the top of the ridge and looked back toward the runway as the first plane made its approach. Waiting until it was just 50 feet off the ground before hitting its landing lights, the Osprey came in low and slow, jostling to a quick stop on the uneven surface well short of the perimeter blue lights. The pilot quickly gunned the plane to the end of the runway and whipped it around in a tight arc. An instant later, the second Osprey touched down, bouncing roughly over the ice before taking its place in line for takeoff behind the first Osprey. Tipton turned his attention to the Gulf, scanning the shoreline again with his binoculars. "Roman, where are you?" he hissed aloud, angry at the team's disappearance. But there was no sign of the rubber boats or the men who had sailed off in them. Only an empty expanse of sea and ice filled the lenses. He patiently waited 5 minutes and then five more, but it was a futile gesture. The assault team was not coming back. He heard one of the idling aircraft rev its engines, and he pulled himself away from the frozen vigil. Running clumsily in his heavy cold-weather gear, he made for the open side door of the first airplane. Jumping in, he caught a dirty look from the pilot, who immediately jammed the throttle forward. Tipton staggered to an empty seat next to the corporal as the Osprey bounced down the runway and lunged into the air. "No sign?" the corporal yelled over the plane's noisy motors. Tipton shook his head, painfully reciting the mantra, "No man left behind," in his head. Turning away from the corporal, he sought solace by staring out a small side window. The Osprey, with its sister ship following close behind, flew over Coronation Gulf to gain altitude, then slowly banked around to the west in the direction of Alaska. Tipton absently stared down at the lights of a ship steaming to the east. In the first rays of dawn, he could see it was an icebreaker, towing a large barge in its wake. "Where are they?" Tipton murmured to himself, then closed his eyes and forced himself to sleep.